Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. We are creatures of change. A new year makes that impossible to ignore. Time itself moves and all things grow older. And for some of us this week, the changes that this new year brings come with gratitude, new opportunities, new plans, new ambitions, and new enthusiasm. Others stepped into the week with a knot in their stomach. A year of unknowns. Another year of expectations. And in one way or another, we all feel it. Things move. They shift. Our bodies change. Relationships, jobs change. Culture constantly moving. Our mood changes. Our hearts. We can be bright and bold one day and heavy and hesitant the next. You can feel strong on a Sunday, and then by Tuesday you feel like you're made of paper. That's why there's a particular kind of glory in experiencing something solid. It's like the great satisfaction a mariner feels when being tossed around on the sea for days of rough water finally puts his foot on the solid shore. That's the Christian's relief in Christ. The stronghold upon our shifting life where the anchor grabs the rock. Hebrews 13:8 is that rock. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Of course, this single verse is set within a context, and the verses around it, the author is talking about two things that can make the Christian quite unstable. So last week, from the text immediately preceding this verse, we were told not to forget faithful leaders, the kind of leaders who preached the stabilizing word of God to you. They modeled it with endurance. And what's ahead of us is a call from this verse to stay anchored amidst false teachers, voices that would pull you towards novelties, towards fads and fancies, and towards new versions of the faith. So the author says, in effect, remember your leaders, don't be led astray by the strange teaching, and here is the center that holds you steady. Christ doesn't change. This verse is a load-bearing wall that holds up these ideas. And it's given as an axiom, sort of a theological matter of fact, a declaration that deserves our meditation, a truth that we might take for granted, thinking it a bit obvious. But Jesus' immutability, his unchanging nature, is a particular diamond that occasionally just needs to be held and felt and examined. Because if Christ is stable, you can be stable. So I want to take that one sentence and let it do its work at the start of this year. To steady the anxious. To quiet the accusing conscience. To expose the itch for novelty. To warn the unbeliever. And to let it draw all of us to the same table that Christ has spread for us. The structure of the sermon is a bit simple, probably obvious. We'll look at him yesterday, today, and forever. Let's look at it in turn. Christ the same yesterday. Yesterday here means who Christ has revealed himself to be. As we've been recently meditating upon Christmas, the incarnation, Christ is God with us, Emmanuel. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. We've seen it. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hebrews has already used this phrase earlier in chapter 5, verse 7, when he says that in the days of Christ's flesh, meaning that what we're to look at in the days of yesterday is the Christ who's revealed who God is, the Christ exposed in scriptures, Christ as he truly entered time, Christ as he truly took on a body, Christ as he truly is, Christ as he suffered, Christ as he obeyed, Christ as he died, and Christ as he rose. Knowing that Christ is the same as he was yesterday is not much use unless we know exactly who he was yesterday. But he's shown us. He revealed himself. The opening salvo of the book of Hebrews reads this way: long ago and many times and many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us by the Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. We are to think about the Christ of yesterday. We are to think about this Christ articulated in these scriptures. And that matters supremely because you cannot stand today and you cannot take strong and well-informed comfort for the future unless you are anchored to the Christ of yesterday. You must be tethered to yesterday. He's the same Christ that calmed the storms with a word. He's the same Christ that fed his flock with generosity then and led them to good pastures, as he does today and always will. He's the same Christ who heals those who were afflicted and ashamed in their sins. He's the same Christ who gave his life on a cross, and the same one who took it up again. So there's a reason that Hebrews keeps pressing us backwards to focus our attention in the completed work of Christ, because when life shifts, we don't lose the stability somewhere out there. We lose the stability in here, in us, in the person. And we start to reinterpret God based on our week, how our things are going. We start living like Christ changes with the weather. That's why the author, just a few verses earlier, tells us to remember faithful leaders. He specifically says, remember your leaders, those who did what? They spoke to you the word of God. They reminded you of the Christ of yesterday. They were faithful to hold out who he was in truth to you. Those leaders are not peddlers of novelty. They are not scratching itching ears. They were men who proclaimed and defended the doctrine of the unchanging God. Men who put the anchor down in Christ, not in trends. And right after this comes a warning in verse 9. Do not be led astray by diverse and strange teaching. So here's the point. Christ's doctrine has not changed. Christ's gospel has not changed. The world changes and insists that theology must change with it. But Jesus is the same. And the gospel is the same. We must have the old gospel. The gospel of yesterday. Not the cheap one that you can be found now that is up to date. The up to date version. Those who would try to help Jesus out and make him more palatable or be his PR manager or make him well suited for this age. We don't need a teacher with charisma. We don't need novelty or pragmatism of what is working now. We need the same Jesus. We need the Jesus that preached the Sermon on the Mount. We need the Jesus that preaches repentance for sin and real atoning blood for real sins. We need the Jesus that preaches of an eternal hell for the unrepentant. We need the Jesus of the steadfast, abundant, and scandalous grace. We need the Jesus of the assurance of pardon. And we need to take heart in his victory and his sovereignty that he has overcome the world. We need that good news, the good news, the singular good news. If anyone comes preaching another gospel, may them be anathema. The church becomes unstable when doctrine becomes negotiable. The church is unstable when the doctrine becomes negotiable. Christ yesterday is a rock. So this year, dig deep. Dig deep to know the Christ of yesterday. Stephen already challenged us in prayer today. Read our Bible. Meditate upon it. Know who Christ is. There's a way that you can hear this negatively. Do more this year. Try harder. But to put it that way, that the text puts it, is to put it positively. Know the Christ of yesterday. Feel his stability. Know who he actually is and not what our hearts and shifting circumstances often project him to be. And here's what will happen. With our shifting, we will think him sometimes cold or aloof. We will think his word is old. We will think it's hard to read. We will think the grace has gone stale. We will think that our situation is somehow unique. But when we come to the word, here's what happens. We find that our assumptions of his grace were far too low. All the things that we do, the shift, and feel that the instability of our time and needs, and he's gone, he's not with me, and what we find in God's word, that our assumptions of grace are always far too low. And to be reoriented never brings us down, but always levels us up to God's grace. It's sufficient for every need. We need the word. We need the word. We find that our assessment of the situation is often skewed, and we find light into our feet, bread and water to our souls, and digging in God's word reveals the Christ of yesterday, which is a necessity for stability for today and tomorrow. Know the Christ of today. The Christ of today is the same. This is where we live and where we move. This is where we need a living Christ. Today is where we wake up. This is where we get the phone call that you don't like, the dreaded one. Today is where you get the bill in the mail, the one that you don't know how you're going to pay. This is where you get the hard medical update. Today is where you worry about your children. Today is where you have the lurking anxiety that you can't even name. You don't even know what it is. Hebrews does something wonderful for us. It refuses to leave Christ in the past, brings him into the present. Jesus is not the Christ of yesterday, a figure of history. He is the Christ of today, the living priest, the eternal advocate, and the reigning king. Hebrews has labored to show us this. He is our eternal high priest. He's not like a human priest who ages or weakens and dies. So change. He holds his priesthood permanently, and he intercedes for us permanently. We can live sometimes like God has moods, like we're trying to catch him on a good day. But Christ today is not moody. Not fickle. He's not capricious. We have steady Christ for changing consciences. We have a steady Christ for changing consciences. And here's where we have to talk honestly about how we change. So let's talk about for just a second how we perceive change, even just in real time, real life. We often perceive changes in Christ's love for us or presence to us because of the small shifting things in our life. This is precisely where we live and have difficulty, because we move and he doesn't. It can be fickle things. I've got a headache today. I think God has abandoned me. I didn't get that raise. Where are you? I've got an enormous tax bill. Maybe God's upset with me. Does that ever cross your mind? Maybe God's upset with me. Many of us wouldn't say that out loud. We know that this kind of theology is wrong on paper, but it is how we feel. We sort of joke, you know, we're Calvinists. We have the Calvinist tulip. The joke is, you know, you live like the Arminian daisy. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. So the large and small things occupy today. A conversation that didn't go the way you wanted it to. The dumb thing, the dishes are stacked up and they're overwhelming, and the laundry never gets ahead, and the last prayer with someone at the hospital. The I failed again to lust. Again. I gave in again. But these small and large moments make you feel as if God is the one that changed. His presence is fickle. He can come near or far. He can change his love. But what we often mean, and we need to be careful what we mean by this, we need to name it accurately, is what we mean is that my situation changed, my energy changed, my health changed, my relationship changed, my sense of God's nearness changed, but we must not accuse God of change. God is not shifting. My circumstances shift all the time, but God is steady within them. And for the weary Christian, when God feels far, we must not conclude that he has flipped, that he has altered. Your sins might be fresh, feel fresh. Your fatigue might make you feel unbalanced. Your shame might be really loud some days, louder than other days. Your regret might feel more intense. But Hebrews 13:8 is about stability in the midst of competing voices. Time does not dilute the cross. You're not beyond the reach of Christ's blood. If anything, time proves it. The cross doesn't get weaker with age. We're talking about change and fatigue. That's what we experience. That's what we know. But it does not dry up. Christ's sacrifice does not grow stale. So don't measure Christ by your inner volatility. Measure yourself by him, not him by you. Let me say that again. Measure yourself by him and his stability. Don't measure his stability by you and your volatility. When you keep replaying failures, you keep thinking, surely I have exhausted his patience. Hear Hebrews 13:8. Directly to your soul, Christ doesn't grow old or get weary with time. The prodigal son felt this. He felt this way, and he came home and he was rehearsing his speech only to be met by the father who was running to him. Do you think that after a while, the father grew cold to his son? Do you remember when you received Christ's grace and you felt like that overwhelming sense of there he is, he's running out to me? Do you think that after a while sitting by the feast, his heart just grows numb? He's not willing to accept you, love you, he's become bored, tired. He's no less willing to embrace you today than he was the first time. Is he less ready to extend to you love or mercy tomorrow when you feel fickle? Is he less merciful? See the unchanging nature of his love today. Feel the tenderness of it as sharply as you did the first time today. Because that's who he is right now. If you're in Christ, you're not relating to a changing Savior. You're relating to the same Savior who saved you in the first place. So come today. Not when you feel better, not when you get it together, but as Hebrews has continued to beckon you through this entire series, if you hear his voice today, come. Don't harden your heart. There's no reason why you can't come. Same Christ on the cross is the Christ that is welcoming you today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Come. And Christ is the same forever. Now, forever is where sometimes our fear lives, great beyond. We can handle yesterday because it's already come and gone. We can sometimes manage today because we're sort of in it in real time. But tomorrow is where the mind can run wild. Health, money, the next loss, the next grief. Hebrews 13:8 takes Christ and stretches him out over the entire timeline. Yesterday, Christ was revealed and the work was finished. Today, Christ is present and he's interceding. Forever, Christ is unshakable and final. So we have to say it plainly. If Christ is the same Savior forever, then he has promises that will never expire. The Christ we know will always be there with us. His advocacy will never stop. His compassion never grow weary or thin or age or decay. It will never run dry. And this is why in our days, we shouldn't hold back from attacking life with just absolutely bold veracity. Because he will be with us in tomorrow. If there's a tomorrow when you wake up, it's going to be because he upholds the universe by the word of his power. It means he's there. What's he going to be like tomorrow? Do you know what he's going to be like? I can promise you what he's going to be like. He's the same Christ as he was yesterday. He's the one that was with you today. So go into tomorrow absolutely ready to rip. Why would we be worried? He tells us to be anxious for nothing, to look at him, to see the way he holds with stability. He has overcome the world. What holds us back from living with deep rest? Do you think that the government will no longer be on his shoulders, or that he will not be with us, or he will not accept us, or we might bother him or be dropped by his care? It cannot happen. He will always be the same. So when you fear the future, transfer the weight from your predictions to Christ's sameness. Move away from your predictions, your what I hope he'll be like, what I think he might be like, and move to the stability of his sameness. You're not called to foresee anything. You're called to trust someone, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But also, if Christ is the same forever, we can't forget that his warnings are also the same. The same Christ who preached grace for all those who had come to him is the same Christ who preached condemnation for those who reject him. The same Christ who preached that his Father has prepared a place for all those who trust in him is the same one who preached there is a place of eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who reject him. The truth is, there's a deep feeling sometimes for our world to hope God would change. They hope that in the end, holiness will not matter. They hope that judgment will not be real. They hope that unbelief will just be waved through, given a wink and a nod. Remember the glories that Christ will not change. Remember the warnings that Christ will not change. That does not mean there is no mercy. It means the mercy is real and it is offered now. Hebrews offers it to you again. Do not harden your heart. God will not be mocked and he will not change. If you're hoping that somehow God will be more permissive later, you are gambling with your soul. The same Christ who welcomes the humble will also judge the proud. The same Christ who forgives sinners will also condemn unbelief. The call is urgent. Take mercy today. What this leaves us with is a soul that is steady. Because Christ is stable, you can be so. And nearness to Christ, as we draw nearer, it steadies us even more. Truth is, we're infants. We know nothing. We come in this world knowing nothing. We learn. We are given the vigor of our youth. But then it sort of just waxes and wanes and we decay and we decline. But Christ is always wise. Christ is never learning, but knows all. He is always and forever, if you want to put it this way, in his youth. He is always in his prime. He is fixed. And Hebrews 13 is aiming at that kind of Christian stability for us. Stability in our doctrine, stability in endurance of the faith, stability in worship and in love and in prayer. And the more we come to Christ, the thing that happens to us is that we don't become like him in totality, that we become fixed and static and unmoving. That would be great, and one day it'll be glorious that that's true. But what does happen in the glory of the Christian is that we do become much more steady. Nearness to Christ does not make us more volatile. We gain more endurance, a steadier demeanor and temperament, less anxiety. Become more holy in conversation with truer eyes as we look into the world. Our burdens become lighter. We're more quick to forgive. Not because we are emotionally unbreakable, but because our anchor holds deep. The other thing remarkably this does to us is I hope that this presses you to pray differently. If God were capricious, prayer would feel like a gamble. If God were moody, that prayer would be like trying to catch him at the right time and the right frame of mind. He just might perhaps pay attention to little old us. But God's immutability means that prayer is never a gamble. It is communion with a steady king. Always the advocate. Always the father. Always the son. So pray more steadily. Not because you feel steady, but because Christ is steady. And build on the rock. This is an almost inexhaustible verse. We could kind of pick at things here forever. Write more sermons on this one verse and just mine these caverns for the depths of how good it is to feel his unchanging nature. But I've heard you at least received at the start of some comfort, some meditation upon this factor of Christ, that in our changing world, it demands an unchanging Christ. That's exactly what we have. If you build your life on feelings, on trends, on what's working, or your own strength, when the water rises, it will shift. But if your anchor grasps the rock, you can stand. And living here is the difference between what Jesus describes as building on sand or building on a rock. Hebrews gives you that rock in one sentence. Jesus Christ, the same. Always. With him, there is no shadow due to change. He is the great I am that was, that is, and is to come. And the most steady of things that we know now, the rising of the sun, the setting of the moon, in all of its constancy that's always there with us, the Word of God describes one day that Jesus will roll it up like a garment. He is more steady than anything we know. Know the supreme comfort that his love and mercy and justice will never change. Take it into the new year. Take it into your next trial, into your next temptation. Take it into the next fear. because Christ is stable, you can be steady.